Okay, continuing Parak Daled, the Ramchal says, "V'hu ma she'omar Shlomo Melech Olav Hashem, Asher Adam Mefachi Tamid." Shlomo Melech says in Mishlei, Parak Chav Ches, Pasuk Yod Daled, Asher Adam Mefachi Tamid. The person has to always be afraid. So you look at that in today's world, and you say to yourself, "Wow, that's it's like we're encouraging mental health issues. You know, a person should always walk around afraid, always anxious, always nervous about things. Doesn't sound too healthy, right?" Pierce the front of the bracha. Chazal say, "Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv." A person shouldn't always walk around afraid, right? A person should not always be scared that something's going to happen. But right, ha'ikar lo lefachid klal. So how do you stem ha'ikar lo lefachid klal, which is not a maimer Chazal, it's Rabbi Nachman, right? With the lashon of the pasuk, Asher Adam Mefachid Tamid. So the Gemara says in brachas, "Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv." Hahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. Gemara brings other steers to that. So therefore, it resolves by saying that what Shlomo Melech is talking about is Divrei Torah. What does that mean? It means that you should not always be afraid when you're walking down the street that something's going to happen. But when it comes to your Torah learning, when it comes to your connection to Yiddishkeit, that you need to be nervous about. You need to be on guard. You need to feel like there's a risk, that there's challenges, there's obstacles, and if I'm not moving upward, then I'm rolling backwards. And Divrei Torah especially. We know how quickly they can escape us. We're chazering for a bechina. And there are things we mamash learned like a couple days ago, and it's at the tip of your tongue, but sometimes it might still be hard to recall it. Kavach Homer things that are from weeks ago, months ago, years ago. It's too easy to lose. Hine sof zoz madrega yunikor yirascheit. Shimon shubachos, shimon madregos. Vihi shiyah adam yori tamid v'dog pen yimasu b'yadu is a shemetz cheit shakvehu men ashlemas ashokhai l'shal bavuro. Ultimately, what a person is working for, this is what yirascheit means. Yiras Chait means that, he says this is one of the most praiseworthy madregos that a person can reach, that he's constantly concerned, and he's doeg, he's worried, maybe there's going to be some fault found in my actions, in my Avodas Hashem, that will prevent me from reaching Shlemus, the perfection that I'm aiming for. Ashur Chayav L'Shal Bavuro, that is my life goal. Right, so we're working with a progression over here where first a person establishes what he's working towards, how he gets there, but can only stay on that path if he's reinforcing the necessity to stay on that path and the necessity to work to maintain that trajectory because they're not easy to maintain. Chazal tells us, it's a Gemara in Bava Basra also, that in the future when we're in Olam Haba, so different people, at least the imagery, not necessarily in a literal sense, but the imagery that's created is that we're going to come to Shemayim, and everyone's going to have their own chuppah, everyone's going to have their own canopy that's built for them, from their Torah, from their mitzvos, the reward that's waiting for them in Olam Haba. And tzaddikim, I think the Gemara is talking about tzaddikim, each one will be burnt, nichveh, to be singed, to feel some sort of pain from the chuppah of his friend. What does that mean? So you could look at it on a superficial level and say, well, you're going to be jealous. You're going to get the Shemayim, the guy next to you, earn more than you were able to earn, and you're going to be envious of what he has. Sosha Sharma says, no, that's too simple. That's not the pshat of it. We're talking about big people. The point is just that there is a sense of anguish that every one of us feels, not jealousy, but when we knew that we could have put in just a little more effort and that would have been the turning point, but instead we decided to squander the opportunity. I could have gotten a 95 and instead I got an 87, and I know it's on me because I decided to do whatever I was doing. I decided to, just give up at some point. I decided, I really wanted to watch the game. You know, whatever it was that just took me away from it, I look back and I say, was it really worth it? Was it really worth it? So Chazal say that the Gehenim, is there an imagery of Gehenim of fire and brimstone? Yes. Is that definitely part of the portrayal? Yes. So there's obviously some truth to that on some spiritual level. But Gehenim is as much a reality in our own mind as it is outside of ourselves. Meaning, I don't know where this comes from, but someone gave a mashal that it's like being at this almost, you know, this unbelievable smorgasbord with all your favorite food. They're at carving stations and sushi and mamish, most delicious spread you can imagine. And you're standing there and you're holding your plate. The only problem is you have no elbows. That is Gehenna. So I'm standing there like holding my favorite foods and there's nothing I can do about it. I can't like take my fork and put it in my mouth. Okay, so for you, Josh, I'll have to modify it a little bit, but you get the point. Meaning that sense of something being so close yet so far is emotionally the hardest to cope with. And essentially that's okay, thank you, Ali. I actually know someone who Nebuchadnezzar's elbows don't work normally. So if you were born like that, you know you learn to compensate. He puts on his talus and he has to like lean back and it's like it's an acrobatics.
Down his talus or no, those are two separate.
Right, okay. clearly the smorgasbord muscle stuck though, you know, but the point is that a person has to make a decision that he may have to sacrifice things along the way, but if there's a goal that he is going to regret later if he doesn't provide, you know, the effort that's necessary to reach that goal, so he's gonna feel it. He's gonna feel it. That's a little bit of a Gehenna. But he says someone who appreciates that I don't want to see myself in that situation of looking back and feeling like I missed out. That's going to drive him to be moving the direction he needs to be moving. So this is Ad Kan Rabosai. Give me a second. Ad Kan, this is the picture that the Ramchal is painting for the Shleim Hadas. On the highest level, where a person has come to a realization of what's important, and it's just about keeping himself moving in the right direction. But he says not everybody's at that level. Not everyone has had that epiphany and realization of what their priorities really are. Or, you know, you can say some of us may have that realization, but we lose sight of it at times. Someone is not on that level. So what could possibly excite them and arouse them to this midav zehiros is something else. So he says, let's bring it down a little bit to earth. Okay? And say, you know what, like we all need acknowledgement. Human beings need acknowledgement. They need to feel like they're important, they need to feel like they're admired, and that they mean something. Person has low self-esteem, feels like he's not capable of anything, or he's not important. It's very hard for that person to get out of bed in the morning. That is a reality that we can all appreciate. V'zeh, ki zeh poshet eitzel kol bal das. She'im adrigus mischalkes bolam hamiti, sholom haba elfi ha-maisim, sholis romim shom el mishu rav ha-maisim ha-chavero. So let's face it, everyone understands, if you believe in olam haba, and you to be Jewish, you need to, so you appreciate that there's schar v'onesh. And the more schar you earn, the more mitzvahs you do, the more olam haba there is. Asher umara maisim hu yashafel. And someone who didn't push himself in this world, didn't earn the reward in olam haba with the mitzvahs, imkin efo eziuchal adam hal veinu mimaisav. Olam mayri shalusu bezeh imachak vali yitzu lo bezman shal yuchal saknes asher ifso. He says, you know, if you don't do your mitzvahs, you're not going to get the punishment. In the next world, you're going to be on a low level. So it's very hard, logically, if a person buys into that, to ignore what he needs to do in this world because it's going to bother him later. You don't want to be second place. If you're, again, it's not a race. It's not a race. But he says, if that's your only motivation, that's what you're holding, that you need to look at it as a race. You need to look at it at I don't want to be at the end of my life, or the end of history, looking back and saying like, oh, okay, I'm at the bottom of the totem pole. So then it behooves you to act now. So some people say like, why should I bother? Why should I, you know, work so hard? Chassidus, precious, come on, just like I'm a regular Jew, I'll just do my thing, I'll go through life. And I won't go to Gehenna, you know, but like, who says I need to be such a tzaddik? That's not so easy. Why should I bother? As long as I'm not from, you know, the Rishoyim, I'm okay with like regular Gan Eden. I don't need to be like all the way in, you know, the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You know that story, the B'dieved story? It's an old joke. There's a guy who went through life and, you know, every time he asks a Shaila, So you know, the rabbi would say, okay, this is what you should do. And he said, but if I didn't do it, is it okay? B'dieved? He's like, yeah, B'dieved, it's okay. Like, that's how he would always, you know, ask Shilas, and that's how he lived his life. All right, but yeah, but it's okay. So finally he dies, and he comes up to Shemayim, and they say, welcome, Baruch Haba, you know, and they bring him into the gates, and, you know, he gets in the car, and they're like, all right, well, you know, we're on the way to your eternal resting place. Here we go. You know, like, he's going down Rodeo Drive, beautiful houses, and, you know, the grass and the lawns and the trees, and he's, like, getting very excited. And then finally, you know, like, the houses get smaller and smaller. He's like, what's going on over here? Like, they get to the edge of town, and, you know, and he's, like, wondering why. Well, it's like, I thought this was Olam Haba. You know, and then finally they're at the edge of town. There's a little shack there, and they stop the car and say, okay, this is where you get out. I'm like, what do you mean? I thought I was going to Olam Haba. So they said, yeah, but yeah, there's also Olam Haba. Okay, all right. So the point is, thank you. Thank you very much. So the point is that, you know, you have this attitude, like, I'll do my thing, I'll be okay, I'm a good guy, you know, but I don't need to be the tzaddik ador. I won't have a big share in Olam Haba, I'll have a small share in Olam Haba, but after all, right, Kol Yisrael, yesh lam chelek Olam Haba, anu dai lanu mezev lo nach b'ro masin b'avur zeh. Why do I need to work so hard? I'll be just a regular guy. So, onam she'ela ach nishol mehem. So he says, if that's your attitude, I got one question for you. I got one question for you. Hayuchu kol kach al nikla lisbo b'olam hazeh hacholev liros echad mechaverehem mechubad umenusa yosr mehem umosholem. I understand. Let me ask you, in this world, right, you fill in the blank. I'm not sure where, you know, how to provide the right muscle over here. But if you were in a situation where someone else was on top of you, better than you, more powerful than you, more wealthy than you, more, you know, more in control, and you were the lower on the totem pole individual, and unfortunately not honored and not raised up to that same extent, right? How do you feel? How are you going to feel about that in this transient, temporary lifetime? How much more so if your own cleaning lady ended up being your boss, okay? Or some poor guy who you didn't pay attention to in the subway, someone who you looked down upon. What if he becomes, you know, he gets shlishi on Yom Kippur, and you know, and they gave you psicha. Okay, you know, and like it. Okay, so there's some people like it really bothers them. It's like your blood is gonna be boiling inside. You're gonna feel like, you know, like what is going on over here? What am I, chopped liver? Lo vadaik in a rose kolamol. We see every single day people who spend their whole lives in the dog eat dog world to pick themselves up and put themselves on top. To, you know, he kinas ishmer eo, because there's this constant envy and jealousy and competition. And you're a chaver mitzrayim of initial shofel. Someone else gets ahead, and he's left behind. Vaday shemash yizbol humash yuchel tzavlo. Lo yuchel no levavis ashish b'kirbo. He can't deal with it. Me'at imkach kosher lam liot shvel mezulasa b'malas of medumos hakozos sheinas shiflus b'am elu leponim lo inase elu shav sheker ich yuchel lizbo sheyiru atzman shvel miyosim yosim anoshim atzman shvel atzman shvel mehem. Says, I don't understand. If you can't handle that, when we're talking about either a kavod or a shiflus that is mamish, superficial, unimportant, and not lasting, and it's all an illusion, then come on. What's going to be in the future? We're talking about forever, and we're talking about something that will truly be valuable and inestimable in its worth, and you'll appreciate that then. Maybe people don't get it right now, and they can't appreciate the godless of Olam Haba and Schar, so they're not going to worry about it. But there's going to come a time where it will be undeniable, and all the people who looked at the future reward as something that was not on their radar or their priority, they'll finally see the MS. And once again, in a different context, he says, that will be an unbearable pain, an eternal challenge for them. And the fact that they were put down, and others who seemed simple and seemed unworthy are exalted above them, and it's really going to count. It's really going to count. So Hare Lecha Shein Asavlonis Hazeh, Shem Dorish Malatzim, L'Hakim Mehem Chom Ravoda, El Pito Kozev, Shem Afati Yitzroms, Osam V'Lodover Amiti Klal. So he says, Bottom line, that taina that someone says, okay, so I won't be the biggest tzaddik, but I'll be okay. I'll be a regular guy. I just won't go to Gehenna. He said, really, it's mufrach mineube, meaning a person's own mindset contradicts it. Because if you'd ask them, they would respond just the opposite when it came to things that didn't matter so much. So that attitude is clearly just an excuse. It's clearly just a way to take the burden off. And I won't work so hard because I'm projecting this attitude that it'll be okay. But there's so many other things where the parallel in this lifetime, it's not okay, and that has to be translated into the way that we look at the things that really matter down the road. Yes, Josh?
Yeah.